Welcome to what will be the first and definitely not the last podcast series from ICS Cleaning Specialist Magazine. I'm Jeff Stover, the editor of ICS Cleaning Specialist, and want to thank you for tuning in, listening to us. Hope you'll enjoy today. We have a great first interviewee, first participant in this podcast series, Daryl Paulson, the newly elected chair of what is now the Clean Trust, formerly the IICRC. Obviously, you've heard probably a lot about the goings-on lately in the last few months with the IICRC, now the Clean Trust, and we finally got Daryl on the phone. Was able to talk to him a bit and get some of the myths and the misconceptions cleared up. And like I said, we got him on the phone, so things sound a little hinky here and there, but it's not too bad at the end of the day. Leave it at that. So anyways, kind of got a rolling start going. Daryl and I have been talking a little bit prior to kicking in the recording, so we're going to kind of jump right in with things as we go. But in the meantime, again, welcome to the ICS podcast series, and thanks for tuning in. And here is podcast number one, interview with Daryl Paulson.
The most obvious thing coming about here is there is now no longer technically the IICRC. It is now the Clean Trust. And so if you could just give a little background as far as, hey, it's this brand new name, brand new identity. And how did all this come about?
Well, it came about from listening to our registrants communicate to us that the IICRC is a mouthful. And so then it's very difficult to brand a name like that. Now, what's great about the old name is it said what we represented, and we're still keeping the name formally known as for as long as necessary through the transition. But the Clean Trust is a name that can be branded better retention from the end users. And IICRC's 50, or the Clean Trust, formerly known as IICRC's, 55,000 registrants and close to 5,000 certified firms. So the Clean Trust is a simpler name. It's representative of what we do. The board listened to the registrants and the marketing and PR firm to do surveys. We did a couple of different surveys, a good representation of our actual registrants and also of the consumers. Some of what the registrants have been asking for is, how can you help us get the name out that we're different? We're certified with the IICRC, now the Clean Trust, and we'd like our customers to know that there's a difference between just hiring a mom and pop and or a company that's not as necessarily as trained and as professional as what somebody who goes through certification courses to become a master cleaner or certified in a specific category might be. So the board decided to address this and do these surveys, accumulate the information. We went through 27 names, vetted 27 names in the surveys and with the board, and got it down to, down to like 10 and then down to 3. And the Clean Trust is, first of all, it's a name that people are gonna be able to trust because it's our name. So we're going to have to be trusting in how we manage our affairs and our certifications, our accreditations, and our affiliates, all of the networks that we work with. And cleaning happens to just be in pretty much everything that we do. In restoration, for instance, some people would say it's not reflective of our name. A restoration used to be in there. Well, now we're putting together a whole new marketing booth for restoration. We have new marketing brochures, which we actually haven't had in the past. To the degree we're going to have, it's going to be, I think, once people see the rest of the rollout campaign for the name change, some of the concerned registrants and others will see that we've taken a professional approach to this name change. We've looked at it from the long run. The name awareness will come out. We were very sensitive. It was a very tough decision for the board to do that because we've had 40 years of branding that name. But for the next 40 years and even the next 10 years, the board feels that many of the registrants are right, that it is a mouthful. It is a tongue twister, and it was hard to say. So that was the biggest reason behind the name change. The process was professional, done by leading experts worldwide, and that's what we ended up with. And I believe in the end that it's a good decision and that it will be well supported. It's been about a month now since the rollout at the Certification Council meeting, and people are already starting to say positive things about it. So we're hearing as much positive, if not more, than some of the negatives. Obviously, nobody can make everybody happy, but we felt there were a lot more registrants, certified firms that were concerned about long-term branding of the name and how hard it is to say. I know I'm repeating myself, but basically that is the main reason. I believe that is the main reason that the board made the vote to change the name and try to drill down a little deeper into the consumer market, where our 55,000 registrants, our 5,000 firms close to, are wanting us to help them market and help them to get to the end users, which are their customers. And we just believe that a name as simple as the Clean Trust, in the end, will be one that will be remembered, almost like a jingle. And you couldn't even do a jingle with a name like IICRC and much less spell it out. So it will still be on there, the name formerly known as. That's how we're answering the phone. We understand this is a transition period. And I would encourage people to go to the website to look at all of our questions that we have received and that we are addressing, and I think they'll find that to be helpful information.
Great. Well, and speaking of, let's drill down to this just a little bit regarding the branding aspect, which is obviously very important for all involved. You've got 5,000 certified firms, 55,000 registrants, and so there's a whole lot of badges and logos on trucks and all this other stuff. You know, IICRC is still out there everywhere. How's the effort going to moving forward to get that stuff replaced with the new branded, the Clean Trust, with the new logo and everything else? How's that moving forward?
Well, again, that is also some pieces of that are on the website, but we are rolling out the four segments: hard surface, inspection, cleaning, and restoration, new marketing graphics, new booth graphics, new brochures. So that's in process. What we're doing for the registrants, for instance, the certified firms, when they renew, they're getting new truck decals at the Clean Trust cost. And so I think it's two decals per firm renewal included in that. Anybody who ordered any patches or anything from June of 2011 on, all that will be replaced at no charge. All you have to do is contact the office, and we will confirm the order and send that back. And that's not to say that if somebody placed a large order or something like that in, earlier in the year, that we wouldn't work with them on a case-by-case basis also. So we understand there will be some cost incurred in changing that name, but we also understand that people will see that name and what it represents, and there should be a positive trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Great. When you were talking earlier about the considerations, like the board was taking as far as like, hey, the various names, working their way down, finding, taking their time in the process to make sure it was done right. Obviously, there's also been some changes to the board, and there's been some restructuring. And can you just kind of give a little background on that as far as obviously the numbers have been pared down a little bit, and new people are in place. And how do you see the board coming together?
Excellent question. The larger the board, the longer it takes to make decisions and to make moves. Now, although in the past having a larger board, we had a lot of volunteers and a pool of board of directors to help us in volunteer leadership roles and positions. So it was good. It was good in the past to have 25 or 30 people on the board. But the board of the last few years have felt that a restructuring needed to take place. So we went through, again, a professional restructuring approach And the way that it worked before was one of the regional shareholders could set forth a nominee or a representative to vote for that regional association, and it was expected that they would sit on the board. That's changed now. So of the 19 shareholders that are involved, there's no guaranteed seat anymore. So now there's only 15 positions on the board. So you have 19 shareholders that would, let's say, assumably on the board. Well, they have to work for that now. It's not a guaranteed seat. So if there's 19 people that want to be on the board and only 15 slots, then you're probably going to have active, hardworking board members that want to be reelected. However, in the past, there was no term limits. Now there is. So one-third of the board goes off every year. So there are five new board members, and their elections are now for just five of the 15. So it rotates. So that gives the continuity of having at least 10 seasoned board members on there. And then you have to be voted back in again, because presumably you've done a good job in your volunteer efforts. These are not paid positions. Mm-hmm. These are volunteered positions. There is sometimes some stipends that help support some of the overhead, but it's very insignificant in most cases. So now having 15 people on the board, obviously you're saving a lot of the, we like to say, the registrants' fees, mm-hmm. and be responsible stewards of the funds to help get the word out of who we are, or what we do, and why people should use either a certified firm or a certified technician to do their work, because they're professionally trained. And so the restructuring of the board, we have not actually had a new board meeting now with just 15 people. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you when it was 25, 26, 27, 28, there's all kinds of challenges, even having a boardroom large enough, whether you have to use mics or, you know, so we think the past board and EC believe that having 15, voting for 15 people to be on the board is a positive change. Now, having said that, there, you know, that's a tough thing for us to vote on in the past, and I was on that board in EC when that vote took place. And because everyone knew there'd be 8 people or 10 people not on the board in the future.
Sure, sure.
And yet they felt it was the right thing to do. And so the past board and EC has voted that change in. And our next board meeting that's scheduled at the Surfaces Conference in Las Vegas at the end of January, we've added a new board meeting, an additional one for the year, and everybody is meeting us at that Surfaces convention. So we'll have our first board meeting, and it will be an extra board meeting this year, so that we can continue with the momentum, keep things in a timely manner happening. I don't want to say fast-tracked, because sure. sometimes too fast is not good, mm-hmm. but being timely is. And so we've already had our board orientation meetings, our mentoring, and all of the packages, everything is out. I'm very excited about the new board that the shareholders have elected. A lot of experience in our industries, in our brother and sister industries as well. So I believe they're going to be very diverse and good quality. They seem very active. So I'm really excited about the decision the past board and EC has made. And I believe it's going to be very positive for the organization to make decisions maybe a little quicker, and also to put forth the best candidates possible to serve the industry, because there's only 15 spots and there's no guarantee for anybody to be in there. And I think that my hat's off to the past board for doing the right thing on that.
For someone then for a registrant who is, you know, not on the board or not behind there, are they going to see anything that's brand new or different, or some sort of change to the structure in the near term?
Well, I would say the biggest change is not going to be as a result of the restructuring, but it's going to be a result of the past ECs and boards and the future EC and boards supporting those decisions to have an education committee. And we're looking at right now how we're going to change the certification council. Currently, the certification council meets in the spring and in the fall, and in the fall up at headquarters in Vancouver. And then every other year, all the instructors come for an instructor symposium. So that may change to one meeting a year is what many people are in favor of. Some still want us to keep two meetings a year with all the instructors and schools, and I like to call them our ambassadors, our advocates. Mm-hmm. They promote our certification courses. They promote our standards. There's the schools that have to apply, and then there's the instructors that have to meet the criteria necessary. And then there's the host who also support and promote, could be suppliers, et cetera. So I don't think there's going to be any far left or right changes. I think we may be more efficient. I think we may be able to move a little faster, but some of that's as a result of the past boards and EC's efforts to get us to this point, too. And so I would say business as usual, that most people don't even understand how busy we really are at the Green Trust.
Okay.
And they don't know how much work that we've really been doing and how I think fortunate to have this many volunteers that support their time and their effort. Many, in most cases, pay their way or to volunteer for the industry that's been good to them. In fact, that's as the chairman of the board, that's one of my calls right now. In the education committee, the big change that's in process right now, that big change is part of ANSI accreditation. And we have to make sure that in certain materially interested parties are the way that they're supposed to be. Like you don't want instructors necessarily doing parts or doing things in their volunteer capacity that ANSI that are against ANSI rules. And in the past, we've pretty much been able to accept hardworking volunteers to help us where they can help us.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, there's rules, there's criteria, there's protocols. And so that, I would say, is some pretty big significant changes that we're working on, all of us to understand, to put those policies in place, to get that word out. Right now, I just did an organizational chart for all of my vacancies for the chair and the vice chairs of all the categories and all the volunteer positions that we have. And I'm going to send that out to the board to see which board members best fit some of those leadership roles. And then the vice chairs will, the chairs and the vice chairs now will also have term limits. So, you know, there's been some things, oh, it's a good old boys club. You know, and I think all organizations experience some of this, or many do. And, you know, it's really I'm not so sure that it ever really was. I understand that sometimes it appeared that way, but I know for sure it's not going to be. So, for sure, with the regulations and the compliance criteria for us to have ANSI accredited courses, certification courses, we have to validate and prove that we have the segregation and the separateness that we need to comply with what they found is it results in the best certification classes, in the best standards, and that's what we do. That's what the Clean Trust does. We develop certification courses. We develop standards. And in the past, they haven't been accredited with ANSI. We only have our S500 and our S520. Now we have the S100 that's accredited with ANSI, and we have several other standards that are in the rewrite again. According to our policy, we're doing the best we can to follow up on them. Now we're doing a real thorough review of each course we have. We're trying to follow experiences that they have and their rules on how to make those courses better. Now, what's that going to do for us? It's going to make our reputation even better. It's going to make our credibility even better. It's going to make the courses and the certifications that the students and the school support and the host support have a higher degree of respect. And what does that mean? A lot of cost. Our web browser, our Criterion that we're using, we're using outstanding firms that what they do worldwide now is they put their courses through an accreditation format. So to manage all of these changes, which are huge, they are huge. It's hard to even get it all out in one interview. But back to the change, we're this education committee that we've now formatted and has professors and people with degrees in it that have been in education all their life. And we're just blessed to have people actually be willing to serve and think the Clean Trust is worthy of their time and their effort. And it's I'm real excited about that change. But that's the new home where all these changes are going to be in. They're going to be in this education committee. So we're hiring an education consultant that we actually, that's a fee-for-service category. Mm-hmm. And that person has, we put that out for a request for proposal so that it's competitive, so that it's not just a good old boys, you know, will we just nominate somebody? No, no, no. That's not how we do it. And then they will apply for that paid position, and they will have to send in their resume. And then that is going to really help us to, I would say, don't want to use the word fast track, because let me put it this way, cautiously optimistic, that we will be working in a timely manner to achieve these goals that will, we believe, set us apart from the average cleaners and restorers that may not have certifications and may not feel that education and degrees are as important as what we feel they are.
Mm-hmm. Is there any effort either being discussed or being, you know, on the table anywhere as far as having some sort of promotional effort directed straight to the consumer to kind of additionally, you know, boost up that branding as it's being rolled out?
Yes, there is, and we've talked a lot about that, and I'm not sure, Jeff, that might be a question to ask me again in the next interview.
Okay.
After our next board meeting, and I'll
sure.
have a little more information. What I can tell you is that the regional shareholders are looking at an international trade association. It's not voted on or completed yet, but it is something that we're actively pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
An international trade association has different benefits for belonging, and a certification body and a standard and course development body like the Clean Trust is, in some cases, we try to give the benefits of what an association might do.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes an association does more of that, supporting their members through trying to get the word out to their members' clients.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the Clean Trust has a referral number that when people call for a referral, we look it up in the computer and give out various names, or it's on a rotating basis. But, you know, we actually have been investing. I've been on the finance committee. I was the past treasurer. We actually have been investing in helping to support the registrants through trying to get the word out to their clients in the past. But I have to tell you, it's like a grain of sand on a beach. I mean, to try to get nationwide, let alone internationally, the name IICRC out to where people would call the referral line number and then look for, you know, people we have on there. I think a lot of people have benefited from that, and it's worked for many and maybe not some of the past, but it was our attempt to support their customers. And so I don't know really for sure, but there's discussions right now that maybe an international trade association would be better at doing that for their members than a certification and standard development body. Now, in the interim, if that doesn't happen, we will continue to listen to the registrants and attempt to get the word out to a marketplace in North America of, what, 400 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take a huge budget, but we are working with a good marketing PR firm, Edelman's, have been for several years now, and other really pretty good firms in the past prior to that, and we've always had a budget to try to get the word out. But like I said, it would have to be a gigantic budget, and I'm not sure I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. So hold that question for our next interview.
Sure.
And it's on everybody's mind. It needs to be discussed, and I'll be able to give you more of an update as time goes on that one.
Sure. No, sounds good. Sounds good. Let's dig into some of the specifics as far as standards go. Obviously, there's, like as you said, there's a few being revised and rewritten as we speak. If there's a few that you can speak to as far as where things kind of sit with some of these new standards coming out, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're fortunate to be working with the CRI and the World Pork Covering Association in putting together a S600 standard. And that is for carpet installation. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, there is no standard. There's references and guidelines they've used in the past. But we have some of the greatest minds in the industry putting together a standard through the Clean Trust that will have our name on it. And we're, I would say, close to halfway, if not more, through. The majority of the chapters in the reference guide have been completed. Barry Costa is leading that charge, and Larry Cooper, and then the representatives from CRI and World Floor Covering. And it's been very excited. It's a great expert team, and it sounds like it's going to be a great standard. And that is due out sometime in the end of 2012 or 2013. And, of course, again, that's an ANSI approved standard, and so that means that it's been developed according to those requirements and procedures so that the materially interested parties and the consensus body of the standard are well represented in the industry, and it's not top heavy in any certain category. So we are really excited about that document, and again, are feel privileged to support the CRI and the World Floor Covering Association in putting that document together, and are very grateful to all the volunteers that are working on it. Another one is the S800 that we're in process. That'll be a first edition, and that's for inspection in flooring. And that one is due out same time, 2012, working on that now for close to, I would say, about 2 years, if I recall. And the standards we're finding are taking 2 to 5 years, depending on how, if there's appeals or just I guess, well, depends on a lot of factors.
Sure.
And some are easier and some are not. It's it just takes what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another standard that we are in the process. And then the trauma scene biohazard cleanup standard is also in the works now, and I'm not sure when that one is scheduled or the goal for that scheduled completed date is, but I would probably say 2013 on that one also. Now, with the standards, the Institute, the Clean Trust, has hired Millie Washington. She is very well-versed and experienced in the ANSI accreditation and the ANSI protocols, and has a resume, long resume. Again, that was a request for proposal that was put out to the open marketplace, and the vetting and the interview process took place, and she is now on staff, a paid consultant or a paid staff member that works full-time for the standards. Not a part-time job for her.
Mm-hmm.
We're her customer and her employer. So we are really feeling that's going to help streamline the standards.
Sure.
That's going to help us be in compliance, and we don't have to, let's say, reinvent the wheel. We can, I guess, as Tom Hill would say, we can keep the wheel on the wagon.
Sure. Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, obviously, there's a boatload of stuff going on. I mean, you guys are, you know, swamped would be, you know, a nice term to apply to it at this point, I'm guessing. That said, is there anything that a registrant would not normally see or not be aware of it. It's like, hey, just in case you weren't aware of this, let me fill you in on what else we've been doing or what else we're doing to, you know, help you out.
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent question. And, yes, there are. Well, first of all, we continue to grow. We continue to have more exams. We have 22 courses. I don't want to be redundant to people who have been around a long time. The supporters of the Clean Trust, formerly known as the IICRC, have supported us for many, many years. But just remember, there are so many new people, new certified registrants coming on. And I'd like to just take a minute to explain that now that you've asked. Our website is being redeveloped. It's going to be more up-to-date. It's a living process. So just because we completed the next phase doesn't mean we're not going to continue to improve on it as technology continues to change. And we have that funding, and we have that in place, the process of how we're going to continue to improve on that. We have a lot more chairs and vice chair, so there's so many opportunities to volunteer and be involved. And let me tell you from experience, I helped to write most of the standards on committees. I chaired certain chapters. And what I learned and how helpful it was to my restoration and my cleaning businesses from volunteering, paying my way, and knowing other great minds in the industry, more than paid for itself in being able to better serve my clients. So I would encourage people to take advantage of these new positions in these new places. Contact our website or the corporate office. We have forms to how to be on a committee, a membership form to fill out, a pledge, and so there's a couple of forms that you have to do. But it's a great place to meet other quality restorers and cleaners, inspectors, and maintenance, hard surface. There's a lot of opportunity in our industry. Two-thirds of America's economy is service, and that happens to be where we are. Not a bad place to be in. Yes, there is a certified firm marketing toolbox, and in there we have a new video on our name that's only for certified firms. We have press releases that they can receive, how to build your website, newsletter formats, and how to promote your business that way. So that I think that's really exciting. Our new video, videos are expensive to do, and if you're a certified firm, you get to use that, and you can put it on your own website. So I think that's great. We're working with AIHA to build bridges there and how we can work together. We're working with ISSA. I already mentioned CRI and WFCA, World Floor Covering Association, and Carpet Rug Institute. And our brother and sister organizations within the industry is what the EC and the board, the current and the past, have always wanted to work together and try to figure out how we don't duplicate services and yet we complement each other and support each other. So I think there's a lot of excitement in that area. I also think that in the next 10 years, we could double, depending on how well we do working with other complementary industries close to us, we could double our size.
In the next 10?
In the next 10.
Wow,
it could be done. Now, I don't have all the surveys and all the formats and all the studies on that yet, but it seems doable. And even if you get caught trying, and you get 20,000 more. I mean, our growth potential is wonderful.
Outstanding.
It is. It's outstanding.
And that's a bold goal too. That's nice. That's very nice.
And you know, and that's the other exciting thing is our president now has a wealth of experience. He's led other organizations, other nonprofit organizations, in a similar fashion. Has a great resume. And we are focusing in our board meetings on the strategic plan, on the long-range plan. We get our reports. We don't have to have everybody give their reports. So it's this restructuring and the way we're managing our boards and having a full-time president that has years of experience to help the board make efficient decisions. And having somebody who's been in other organizations and seen them grow and how to maintain, that's been very helpful. I'm real excited to work with Patrick Winters and with the new EC and the new board. And I'm excited to tell you about the progress as we go along.
And so there you have it. Everything you wanted to know and more about the Clean Trust. And probably not. Actually, it probably brought up more questions than it answered. But hey, you got to start somewhere, right? So anyways, for more information on the Clean Trust, you can still go to www.iicrc.org. They are currently in the process of changing over that URL to reflect the new name, but haven't gotten there yet. But go there, and it'll answer every question. They got a nice FAQ section for you there, and also all the additional contact information, office phone, headquarters location, and all the fun stuff, anything you might need. So, again, thanks for tuning in for the first ICS podcast in a while, and not to be the last, and we'll see you soon. Have a good one.